iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. Brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show here on iGlobal Radio. Today we're joined by Dina Budia, who is the CEO and independent financial advisor of P2M Group. And she's been in the property and finance business for over 25 years. Now, she takes pride in empowering women to break the traditional stigmas that are attached to their role in the finance industry. Her success has been through relationships and delivery and leading a team of great professionals. Dina, hello and welcome to the program today.
Hi, Tony.
Tell us a little bit about your background. What inspired you to become a financial advisor?
Coming from a traditional orthodox Gujarati family, building properties, it's in the bloodstream. However, language became a bit of a barrier for many in that generation. I felt that there needed to be a medium where two things. I could translate the financial jargon into basic English, basic Gujarati at the time, Hindi, and our native languages. And secondly, traditionally, our parents, it was the male domineering sort of financial. They steered the finances. They were the people who went to speak to the bank managers. And I felt that, you know, with the evolvement of finance and women going out to work, there was a need for women to understand the financial sector a lot more.
Okay, so what you saw was a niche in the market. You saw yourself as a leader. You saw yourself a hole that you could fill. But like many industries, the financial markets in particular, very male dominated. And you raised something very interesting there as well about speaking the native language. Obviously, you filled a great big gap in the industry, which nobody else could fill at the time.
Absolutely. I mean, fortunately, I was based in the heart of Wembley. That is where my career had taken off. And because of the demographics and the nature of the people around that, they promoted me. They did what our culture does, which is recommend and refer. And if you're good at what you do, it was actually like a doctor's surgery, Tony. I had people waiting for me. It was sort of combining my community-driven ethics, but in the financial world, where people were come and see me to fill out their electric bills and pay their gas bills because they actually wouldn't know how to do it. So it was actually nothing to do with what I actually did, but it was that two-way process of building the confidence in them. I had to give a lot more than my male colleagues just to build my name and build a client bank. I think a woman back in the 90s, I felt that I had to give more anyway. Being a woman in finance, being Asian, you know, every time I went to any meetings or annual functions, people would just assume I was the administrator and not necessarily the owner of the business, or even also the boundaries of speaking to businessmen. Businessmen traditionally wanted to speak to an English bank manager or a male. So for me to break the boundaries within my society was quite difficult, especially with the business people, because they just assume that, you know, Gujarati girl, orthodox family, does she really know what she's talking about? Mm. You know, is she chancing it? And also, my parents, there's obviously the family stigmas of going out into something slightly different to what I suppose was expected of me. My mum always felt that, maybe your husband should be the breadwinner. Maybe he should be out there in the business world. Are you sure? You know, are the children going to be looked after? So there was all these other facets of being a lady. But I was true to my own, and I felt that making sure I met my needs as a mother, as a wife, as a daughter-in-law, and all these things that women have to do, I could also build a mentor for my daughter and women out there that you can. Run a successful business as long as you do it in the right way.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Let's talk about your business, P2M, the P2M Group. When was that formed?
So P2M was formed in 2002. So I came out of the banking sector and I decided to set up my own. And predominantly it was because there was no flexibility in the banking sector, you know, having a child. So I thought the only way that I could be a true mother and be where I wanted to be, as well as a career, was to set up my own business. The business initially started off in terms of financial advice, so mortgages and lending, and encouraging our people to go about, you know, purchasing properties the right way and have access to banks and have access to what is it that you need to do. You know, make sure you pay your taxes, make sure, you know, you have your bank statements in order, and really educating them in the journey of we can build property portfolios and you can meet the needs of the banks by doing it. Because again, a lot of my landlords didn't want to take their business elsewhere. They said, well, Dini, you know, we've got the lending, you found us the property, now can you rent it? And it wasn't my core business, but I was like, oh, they trusted me. So I said, okay, fine. It's like effectively a ready-made business that I had. And I chose to take that on too.
We've been through many difficult times, and the most recent time being the time of COVID as well. So investments have been up as well as down. So are investors still purchasing? And if so, are they doing anything differently to what they've done before?
It's interesting you say that, Tony, actually. So that as with the pandemic, I think everything went to pause, you know, mid last year. Investors were seeking opportunities. You always find that in a time of woe, there is always opportunity. It's about finding that woe. And the problem we had was lending. You know, the problem business owners and landlords are facing is the banks were shutting down. They were locking their doors. However, when things started to open up late last year in December, investors were getting smarter in terms of making sure they structured the way they purchased things a lot more smarter. And also it was about building their confidence. You know, a lot of them were on the phone looking for advice. I have found, Tony, that a lot of people are actually moving out of London and seeking opportunities outside, because obviously the working from home has allowed people to do that. So investors are taking opportunities to think afar.
If you have just joined us, you're listening to the iMoney Show here on iGlobal Radio. And I'm talking to Dina Budia, who is the CEO and independent financial advisor of the P2M Group. In a moment, we're going to be talking about mortgages and how easy it is to get a mortgage, whether it's a small amount or a large amount.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
So, Dina, how easy then is it in the investment property market, and how easy is it to get a mortgage? Let's assume that we want to get a mortgage, 100% or 90% or even a 50% mortgage, depending on how much money we have to put down in the first place. How easy is it to actually get, let's say, a 95% mortgage?
Tony, you didn't go with the easy one, 95%. Pretty full on. Okay, so yes, the banks are opening up to 95%, which is, it's been a good decade since they've been doing that. That, you know, the media puts out there that yes, everyone, first-time buyers, go and get a 95% mortgage. But I think the reality is the affordability has to be there. So the income has to be there in order for you to get that lending. So the lending criteria has not changed. You know, the amount of lending has not changed. It's the level of lending that you have access to. 95% is great for young professionals who do start their careers off on a larger pay scale, but may not have accumulated the levels of deposit. Also, there's access to, you know, friends and family who may be able to assist you. So asking for 5%, Tony, is far less than having to ask for a lot more. So it's great news for us in this industry that it opens up a window of opportunity.
Does that mean then people can actually affordability goes up and people are now buying more properties? Let's face it, the housing market has been up and it's down and it's all over the place. It's confusion.
Well, I can't complain. We are busy. So with the numerous things of, you know, the 95% window opening up, stamp duty holiday that the Chancellor has put in place, this has definitely opened up a lot more doors for a wider audience, I think. I think that's the key thing, Tony. You know, before there may be certain sectors that did have far more savings and deposits available. However, there's people out there who earn larger salaries but don't necessarily have the savings. So I think the property market is stable. for investors or for first-time buyers. But I think the key message I would always say to my clients, in particularly the first-time buyers, is you've got to look at yourself. You've got to look at the time is right for you. You know, where are you in your life? We could be waiting for interest rates to drop lower and lower and lower. We could be waiting for house prices to drop lower. But how long is that waiting? I think you have your aims and your dreams within your in your own sort of life, and you've got to meet those needs when it's when it works for you.
So are you suggesting that every opportunity or the earliest opportunity one gets to jump onto the bandwagon of property investment once you do that?
Quite frankly, yes. I actually think, and I'm sure our ancestries would feel the same, Tony, that bricks and mortar is fixed, it's there, and it provides you an income stream, whether it be now or an equity gain. It's got to be thought as a medium to long-term investment. You know, we're not talking about making quick money. However, there may be opportunities to make quick money, but I think the key thing is bricks and mortar over the long-term period is a stable investment.
We're talking to Dina Budia from the P2M Group, and Dina is a CEO and independent financial advisor of the P2M Group. And we're going to be talking about businesses and how are they doing things differently in this day and age. So, Dina, as far as businesses are concerned and the changes that we've already discussed in the program here today with mortgages being more readily available, are business owners actually doing something differently in this day and age? And if so, what are they doing?
Businesses have had a tough time, Tony, for obvious reasons in particular sectors. I have found many business owners are doing two things. One is protecting their businesses a lot more. I think they are concerned more about the people in their business a lot more. So they are thinking of key persons cover or shareholder, you know, what happens if anything happens to any of my key partners in the business. And I think over the years, business owners, directors have forgotten that. They've been all busy making money, growing their businesses and not necessarily protecting them. So many have also taken advantage of the CBILS loan or the bounce back loan, which is also allowing them to project forward and grow their business in the online digital world. That has become at the forefront in the last year or so, that businesses who may not have necessarily been in that space have had to or have forced themselves to evolve. For example, the restaurant industry. You know, many smaller restaurant businesses may not be on Deliveroo and Just Eat, and they've never thought of these online platforms. However, they've had no choice because that has been their only way of growing their business or maintaining their overheads. It's interesting how the mindsets have been forced to move forward.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Is this the right time to buy, Dina? And if not now, why now? Is it the time to take from the bank of mum and dad? Because let's face it, as far as the Indian diaspora is concerned, the Indian community is concerned, we often have to rely on the banks of mum and dad to bail us out every now and then, particularly when it comes to buying another property. Is this the right time to buy?
I think there's a twofold question there. Is it the right time to buy with the bank of mum and dad? And is it the right time to buy? So I think buying with, fortunately, if you are fortunate enough and your parents do have savings, unfortunately, the interest rates are so poor in the savings arena. They are definitely going to get far more returns on their money, or, you know, allowing you to pivot off that to get you on the property ladder. So we do find traditionally, as you said, the Indian diaspora is absolutely amazing. They do generationally help each other. And Bank of Mum and Dad has allowed, you know, our younger folk to get onto the property ladder. And I am finding the Bank of Mum and Dad seem to be more open to it nowadays.
As far as the property market is concerned then, Dina, is it the right time to buy? Are property prices stable? Are they going down or are they going up? We've recently had the budget from Rishi Sunak, from the Chancellor. Where are we going with this right now?
Where are we going with this? I wonder if Rishi knows the answer, actually. I think the property market is stable. I genuinely do. Whether the prices are going down, I don't think so. I think, we're, you know, the property side, we're going to ride through this quite well. Whether it's the right time to buy, I'll go back to my first comment earlier on. If it's the right time for you to buy, it is the right time to buy.
And that's based on the fact that property prices are quite cheap now, and they're going to go up eventually. Is that what you're saying to us today?
Property prices are stable. I think what you will find is the interest rates are low. So the power of your money, you know, if you were to borrow a higher sum of money, it's cheaper borrowing. So the monthly installments are affordable. On the contrary, when you find the property prices going up, you'll find the interest rates will go up. It's a double whammy. So the level of money you would have to inject on a monthly level would be far higher. So I think there's opportunity and possibly more opportunity outside of the London area than ever before.
If you have just joined us, you're listening to Dina Budia and myself, Tony Patty, here on the iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio. And Dina Budia is the CEO and independent financial advisor of the P2M Group and has been in property and finance for over 25 years. In a moment, we're going to be talking about that dreaded word, tax.
The iMoney Show on iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
As we come towards the end of our programme today, we have that dreaded word called tax, that three-letter word, tax. So when it comes to investment in property and property investments, where do we stand with that? Unravel the mysteries of paying tax as a property investor or a property owner?
As a property investor, especially in the last year or so, a lot of business owners have realised if they had paid tax, things could have been better. And that could be just from the, not the benefits, the grants and things, the facilities that were available from the Chancellor in this pandemic period. But a lot of investors have actually realised that paying tax is a good thing. And I totally agree, Tony. I think buying an investment, a property investment, and the way you structure your investments, you've got to think of tax-efficient ways. However, most people need lending. Whether you get lending under a limited company or you need lending on a personal level, you need to pay tax to get that lending. Now, you're not going to have both. If you don't pay the HMRC your dues, the banks aren't going to give you money. It's as simple as that. However, you pay your dues, you will find you will get more lending from the bank. The minute you get more lending from the bank, that this then allows you to build on your property portfolio and progress. So many investors are actually buying under limited companies at the moment, and they do need to seek tax advice from their accountant. However, over the last few years, you know, mortgage payments have not been allowed to be taxable expenses on an individual basis. So under a limited company, it seems to be the more tax efficient way. Twofold, one, because of the income tax that, you know, you have to pay, or a corporation tax rather under a limited company. And secondly, for inheritance tax and future generational planning. So limited companies for business owners or high rate taxpayers seems to be the way forward.
And indeed, your advice would be to seek independent financial advice when you're going about this.
Absolutely. I think it's integral that you seek independent financial advice. You also speak to your accountant, tax advice, and actually also seek some legal advice as well on making sure the structure of, you know, your investment is correct.
Thank you for listening to the iMoney Show, brought to you by iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Dina Budia, you are the CEO, independent financial advisor of the P2M Group. Thank you for the insight that you've given us today. Now, if people need to find out more about what you do and the P2M Group, how you can help people, what is the call to action and how do they get in touch with you?
So feel free to get in touch with us on p2m.ifa-web.co.uk. Or you can email me directly on dina@p2m-group.com.
That's dina@p2m-group.com.
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.